things that he did, but I can tell you that when his father was dying and his eyes were growing dim, that this guy waited until his brother went out into the field to obey his father to go get some venison so he could taste it one more time. I mean, what kind of last request is that? But that's what he asked for. Before I die, I want to taste that savory meat, that venison. So, okay, Daddy, I'm going to go out there. And he was waiting. Oh, boy, he had the sheepskin, the smell. He had some of that stuff you put on that smelled like musk, you know. And he goes into his father's place. He said, boy, you smell like him. You feel like him, but your voice sounds a little weak. You sound like Jacob. I mean, you sound like Esau. I mean, no, you sound like Jacob. But he said, but you smell like Esau and you feel like Esau. And so he tricked his brother out of this double blessing, so that when Esau gets back, he says, he did it again. That rascal did it again to me. He said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And so we pick up this story in our reading. Jacob is running. He's run out of the house. He's like, oh boy, I got it now. I got this. But when you're running for your life, you can't enjoy what you just got. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When you do things wrong, you feel like everybody's. Well, I'll never forget the first deer I shot, and I killed a doe when it wasn't any, you couldn't kill a doe. I thought I was shooting at a buck. I thought. And there was three of them standing there, and I wasn't a good shot at about 300 yards. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to shoot at 30-30, 300 yards. I just, boom. I look, and a deer hit the ground. I went out there and checked, and it's a doe. I was like, oh, my God. But I went home, and I told my daddy. Y'all got time for this story? Good, because I'm going to tell it anyway. I went home, and I told my daddy what I had done. He said, well, son, we can't let that meat waste. I said, no, Daddy, we can't let that meat waste. Let's go get that. He said, you know where it's at? I said, I know right where it's at. So we get out, and my brother and I, we get out at night, and it's way up there in the country in the sticks, you know. And so we get out a flashlight, and we just like, you don't want that light to go very far. We're out there going like private detectives looking at the ground, you know. He said, we're about there. I said, yeah, we're getting close. And about that time, a hoot, I went, hoo, 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 hoo. And Daddy said, game wardens do that. They make you think it's an owl, but it's not an owl, you know. You know, those owls, they always want to know who's doing the cooking. Did you know that? They do. Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all? And that's where they were doing that night. They want to know who was doing the cooking. And we were trying to find it. And we started getting nervous and scared. And we never could find that deer. See, when you do things wrong, you're always worried. There was nobody out there. But we started imagining things that weren't really there. And we left that deer. I went back the next day with my hunting dog to make sure it was there. It was spoiled, but it was there. But we lost that deer. Jacob was running for his life. Birthright, double blessing, but scared. And he runs, and he runs, and he runs. Can I tell you, he's now getting tired of fighting. I won, but it ain't worth it. He laid down his head in a hard place. He looked around. The sun had gone down, and he said, my God, I left so quick, I didn't even bring my favorite pillow or blanket. I've got to find something to lay my head on. He said, I'll just take these rocks. And the Bible said he made them for a pillow. You talk about a weary guy when you can lay your head on a rock and go to sleep. And he laid down, and he went to sleep. Jacob laid his head on a hard place. And when he laid his head down in a hard place, the heavens opened up. The place where things open up is when you get to a hard place in your life. And he laid his head down and he started dreaming and he saw angels ascending and descending from heaven and coming up and down this ladder. And the Lord spoke to him. And Jacob saw this ladder. And as he was seeing it in his vision, a voice from heaven, just like it did for Paul Abraham when he came to his hard place. spoke to him. And here's what he said. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Pawpaw, Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest, to thee I give it, and to thy seed. This was the same promise that Abraham got in his hard place. And thy seed shall be as the dust of heaven, of the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow, this is not supposed to happen now, but this is the God of a hard place. He's reassuring him that even though you've reached this hard place, even though you've done a lot of wrong, I'm still the God of the hard place. I'm still the God of difficulty. I'm still the God that promised your grandpa these things. I'm still going to fulfill what I promised. And behold, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all the places where thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee. There's times in my life I needed to know that. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of. I'm telling you, he had come to this hard place of wondering, and the Bible says that he woke up and he said, how dreadful is this place? My God, how is it that God is still speaking to me when I've done all this wrong? I'm telling you, we get it wrong sometimes. God speaks to people on bar stools. He speaks to people that's in the wrong bedroom. He speaks to people that are on crack cocaine. In hard places, looking for something to fill the voids in their lives. So Jacob has this reassurance that God is with him through his difficult times. And even though he had done wrong, God was with him. And at this place, he had come to this place where he now had this reassurance. But you know, even though you get reassurance, you still got hard places. And so Jacob comes to this last, final time where he now is going to face the man who wants to kill him. Esau. You can't go on until you solve all that. I'm sorry, you just can't go on until you get that straightened out with Esau. You know, you didn't do him right. You know, you just can't smooth over it. You got to get it right. And dealing with that. He was struggling with it. And knowing tomorrow that he would face Esau, he rose up in the night and he took all of his possessions, including his wives and his children, and he sent them across Jabbok, the little brook. But Jacob, the Bible says, was left how? Alone. That's a hard place. It's dark. I mean, it was the worst of times. It's dark. He's confused. He's desperate. He's fearful. And he's tired of fighting. He's tired. And right when he got at his most tired point, the Lord said, one more fight. And there wrestled with him. You want to fight? And there wrestled with him the angel of the Lord until the breaking of day. And the angel of the Lord told him, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I won't let you go until you change me. I won't let you go until you bless me. I'm tired of being who I used to be. And the Lord said, what is your name? And he said, I am who they call me. My name is Jacob. I am the supplanter. I am the deceiver. I am the one that stole the birthright. I am the one that deceived my father. I am that person, but I don't want to be that person. So therefore, I won't let you go until you change me. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto him when he said that. He said, I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel. For as a prince with God, thou hast power with men and God. Prevailed. He kept wrestling with it and kept holding on. I'm here to tell you, somebody and everybody, don't give up in the hard place. Don't give up in the hard place. Because if you don't give up in the hard place, then God can answer your prayers. Then God can be the God of the hard place. Hallelujah. God can fulfill His promises in the hard place. But you can't give up in the hard place. You've got to get the victory over the hard place. I give you the gates of your enemies, but you can't get the gates of your enemies till you get the victory yourself. Through the hard place. Anybody been through a hard place in their life? Maybe you're going through a hard place right now. I'm here to preach and to teach and to encourage you to hang on through the hard place, because there's something going to open up. Hallelujah. There's something going to open up because you got a hard place. I have found God to be true. Lots of times God don't answer my prayer, but Lord, when I get in the hard place, when I get in, I remember looking out my bedroom window at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning at the stars and I say, Lord, I'm in a hard place. I'm in a difficult place. God, are you out there? And there would be a peace of God that would pass all understanding, come over me and say, God, He said, I'm with you. I'm not going to let you go. Just stay in the hard place. I'm going to lead you through it. Hallelujah. Too many times we measure God by feelings. I've heard it say, well, if I could just shout, I'd get through this thing. Nah. If I just speak in tongues, I'd get through this thing. Nah. If I'd fast 3 days, I'd get through this thing. Nah. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things, but you can only measure God when you get in the hard place. When Ahab was fighting, and they said, oh, their God is a God of the mountains. So as long as we fight on the mountains, they win. But let's get them in a hard place. Let's get them in the valley. Because their God can't do it when in the hard place. And so they met him in the valley. And they found out, Brother Moore, he's God of the hills and he's God of the valleys. He's God of the good times and he's God of the bad times. He's God of the easy times. He's God of the hard times. He's God no matter what you're going through. He's still God. But he doesn't manifest himself so many times until you get into the hard place. And there's times I feel like I was praying and it was just coming back to me. But I held on through the hard place. When the disciples got into hard places, Jesus always strengthened them. The Bible says in one place, he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you that when you get in the hard place, the reason there is hard places, because when you get in the hard places is when your understanding gets opened. You start seeing things you never saw before in the hard place because you've never seen it any other way. Jacob saw himself in the hard place. It wasn't till Stephen was stoned that he saw the heavens opened, right? And said, Lord, receive my spirit. It wasn't till Jesus came out of the water and met his critics that a voice said from heaven. He began to hear things and see things when he came to the hard place. Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. They murmured and complained when they got to the Red Sea. But every time they got to a hard place, God showed up. They got to the Red Sea and God showed them, I'm God of the Red Sea. They didn't have any food to eat. I'm God that can provide. I'm God that brings you water out of a hard thing, out of a rock. He's God of our hard times. And I'm here to tell you tonight, don't give up in hard times. He's God of the hard times. It's a place where things begin to open up. Hallelujah. When you reach those hard times in life, you start reevaluating things, recalculating things.
I preached a funeral today. Brother Monso's grandmother deceased. And blessed, Brother Charlie was, first time I met her, Brother Charlie and I went after Hurricane Rita, and we put blue tarp on her house. Brother, that wasn't much of a house, but it was home to her. And if I could share with you, I'm going to shift gears. Is that okay? I'm going to give you something I gave them today, because this may help somebody. The scripture says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound those things that are mighty. And the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And what I talked about, and for 3 or 4 minutes, spare me this time, I talked about base things and staying on base. Staying on base. A base, you see this, these flowers, and they're pretty, and there's a vase, and you say, "Oh, what a beautiful arrangement of flowers. What a beautiful vase." But take away the base, and they fall over. And Jesus said, "I didn't choose the flowers. I didn't choose that, how pretty the vase is. That's what men notice. I chose the base. I chose the base things and the things that people don't think about, and I'll confound the wise." And you see, like this lady, she didn't have much. But as I said in the funeral, brother, today she's smarter than any man alive. She's wiser. She's more noble than anyone alive today. And we have to remember base things, those fundamental things. Even in arguments and things, when you go to the judge, you'll say, "What's the basis of the argument? What's the basis of the claim?" It's all got to go back to the base or the root or the foundation of the thing. Hallelujah. When Solomon had everything that he could possibly have, he said, "Let's hear the conclusion of life. Let's look at the basis of life." He said, "Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter." And it's a base thing. To fear God and to keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. I've learned in all my life of living for God, you can make living for God so complicated and so hard you can't even enjoy it. But if you keep the base things, what the Bible says, we are saved by the simplicity of the gospel, not the complexity of the gospel. The simplicity of it. And I'm afraid we get so deep and so convoluted with our messages that we don't tell people even how to find the cross anymore. My. So there are basic things in life as they come tonight that matter more than anything else. It's not how smart you get. It's not how much money you have. It doesn't even really matter how much God uses you. People, you know, God has to be real careful when he uses men in the ministry, because they get to saying, "Praise God, they let me do it." They steal God's glory. And he said, "I'm not going to let that happen." In fact, the disciples, he said, "I'm going to give you the same power I have. You're going to go out there and cast out devils, and you're going to heal the sick." So, boy, they're going out there, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." And boy, that devil was fleeing. Be healed. Shadows are healing people. And they got, "Hey, did you see that, John? Matthew, watch this. In the name of Jesus, come out of him." Boy, that's cool, ain't it? And the Lord rebuked them and said, "Rejoice not. Rejoice not that demons are subject to thee, or that the lame walk, or that they are healed, or the dead are raised, but rejoice that your name is in the land." It's a base thing. It's a base thing. You've got to remember the most important thing is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The most base thing there is love. Love. "Though I give my body to be burned," sound like some big thing. He said, "And I don't have the base thing. Though I give all my goods to the poor to be, look at me. I was rich and now I'm poor like them. I gave it all." Well, big deal if you don't have love, the base thing. So when one man comes to Jesus, he said, what's the greatest commandment of them all? Wanting the top one. He said, it's a base thing. It's not a top thing, it's a base thing. The chiefest of them is love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And when you do that, you fulfill all these other things. You see, you can't have a bunch of flowers without a base thing. I'm telling you tonight, keep life simple. Keep it base things. If you get life too complicated, yes, I'm a very busy man. I am so simple at heart. I am so simple. My wife and I went on vacation. You'd have never recognized me on vacation. I got enough money to buy crawfish. I like to crawfish. And I set me out some traps, and man, they got some whopper crawfish in Toledo Bend. They're that big. I mean, that big. And so I set those traps out, and I got on chess waders. Here I am, you know. I can't afford. But it's a base thing. And I'm out there, whoo, got five. Thank you, Jesus. And I dumped them into there and I for 3 days. And, you know, I finally got about a pound of tails. And my wife hates those veins in them, you know. Men, we just... You know, it doesn't matter. Right, Brother Charlie? Just, but not her. And so to please her, see, I'm just a base guy. My thumbs are still sore. Those big old crawfish, I popped them open. I washed them with soap and water. Now, don't tell her that. But they were clean. And we sat down. I fried those up, or she did, and the grandpappy. It's a base thing. Keep life. Don't get off of base. No matter how high you go or how much money you get or who you could be in life, if you get off of base, you're going to fall. So stay on base. Stay on base. Yeah, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Stay on base. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song to the Lord. Would you stand?